are overcoming racism and sexism and demanding that the society function in our behalf as opposed to the behalf of the 1%. We don't do that, things are going to get worse. If we do that, then we're going to make some improvements.
And on that note, I thank both of you for being with me on this spotlight. Frank Imsbach at Workers Independent News out of Madison. Gilbert Doctorow, Independent International Affairs Analyst out of Brussels. And as always, we appreciate that you've been with us on another spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqarah, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mathalu alladhina yunfiquna amwalahum fi sabilillahi kamathali hab بَتِنْ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلٍ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. The parable of those who spend their property in the way of Allah is as the parable of the grain growing 7 years, with 100 grains in every ear. And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases, and Allah is ample giving, knowing. As for those who spend their property in the way of Allah, then do not follow what they have spent with reproach or injury. They shall have their reward from their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Ahead of his historic visit to Damascus, Iran's president reaffirmed support for Syria's sovereignty, saying U.S. forces must leave the country immediately. Israeli warplanes carry out airstrikes on various positions across the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian groups respond by firing rockets at settlements. U.S. job openings fell for a third straight month in March as layoffs increased to the highest level in more than 2 years. Hello and welcome, everybody. Our top story for this half hour, Iran's president underscores Syria's sovereignty over all its territory, saying that U.S. forces illegally stationed in the country must leave immediately. In an interview with Al Mayadeen TV, Ebrahim Raisi described as a, quote, lie the U.S. claim that it's fighting terrorism in Syria. He said American forces are, in fact, managing terrorism there. Raisi said Tehran welcomes the resumption of ties between Syria and other countries, in particular, the regional states. The Iranian president called for the return of all Syrian refugees to their country. Raisi said Iran was ready to help Syria in its reconstruction. He said relations between Tehran and Damascus were strategic, and his visit to Syria would see the expansion of ties in all sectors. The Iranian president is slated to officially visit Syria on Wednesday. Pro-Israel lobby groups are pushing to muzzle Press TV by cracking down on its social media presence. U.S.-based organizations, the Center for Countering Digital Hate and the Anti-Defamation League released a new report accusing Press TV of, quote, spreading dangerous anti-Semitism. The claims have been immediately seized upon by the pro-Israel lobby in the U.K. with a call to social media companies to restrict the channel further. Amina Taylor has more from the British capital.
It has become a well-trodden political path, Press TV being attacked in the British Parliament. This time, the mouthpiece was the vice chair of the Conservatives' Friends of Israel.
A shocking report into the online activities of Press TV, particularly their use of a video series called Palestine Declassified, which focuses its hatred on British Jews. Whilst Press TV may be banned from our airways, this foreign state hate operation is continuing online. Can we have a debate at some point on what more we can do to ensure that social media platforms tackle this outrageous content?
In the decade and a half since it was established, Press TV has found itself front and center of Western media attacks. But despite the pressure, the channel continues to advocate for the voiceless, chief amongst them, the Palestinians. The show at the heart of the latest onslaught is Palestine Declassified. Its host, former Labour MP Chris Williamson, gave his take on why the show was such a bone of contention for the pro-Israel lobby.
What we've seen here is a shameless attempt by the Israel lobby in the House of Parliament to whitewash Israel's criminality and lawlessness. And of course, they're very concerned about the fact that Palestine Declassified is shining a light into the murky corners of Israel's activities, and indeed on the lobby that seeks to avoid any criticism of their suppression of the Palestinian people. Palestine Declassified is, you know, very effective. It scrupulously researches all of the content that we put out. And obviously, you know, they're embarrassed by the truth that we are bringing to a wider public. And of course, you know, the traction that Palestine Declassified is now picking up, it's been suggested, reaching well over 11 million people now. So they're doing their damnedest now, it seems to me, to try and close down our success.
Chris has written a stern letter rebuking started by Andrew Percy.
There's no truth whatsoever to the allegations that you made. I mean, they suggest that, you know, we sort of are a vehicle for hatred towards British Jews. I mean, the programme doesn't promote hate in any respect, or it suggested anyway, that they're apologising for maligning me and for impugning the reputation of Palestine Declassified and Press TV.
As Palestinians continue to live under an oppressive regime, Press TV's fight to advocate for justice will see it targeted as part of Israel's campaign down anyone who stands up for the Palestinian cause, a move branded Press TV London.
Palestinian inmate Shay jail after nearly 3 months of hunger strike. Adnan was found unconscious in his cell on Tuesday morning. He went on a hunger strike on February the 5th. An Israeli court rejected another plea to release him on bail despite warnings about his health condition. The 45-year-old Palestinian was a senior member of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement in the occupied West Bank. His body has been taken to an Israeli hospital. The International Committee of the Red Cross is calling on Israel to release his body.
We offer our sincere condolences to the family and loved ones of Khadr Adnan at this difficult time. We call on the Israeli authorities to release Mr. Adnan's body so his family can mourn and arrange a dignified burial according to their customs and beliefs.
Adnan is the 206th Palestinian deliberately murdered in Israeli detention centers. He was one of the nearly 5,000 Palestinians held in the regime's jails. Many are incarcerated under the so-called administrative detention mechanism, which is used to keep Palestinians behind bars indefinitely without any charge or trial.
It was his sixth hunger strike and the longest, which lasted for 87 consecutive days. Palestinian prisoner Sheikh Khadr Adnan stubbornly resisted until his last breath, asking for his release he always obtained after every hunger strike against his illegal administrative detention by the Israeli authorities. This time, however, his hunger strike ended with his martyrdom in a cold cell in the Israeli prison of Ramli at dawn on Tuesday. Here in his hometown, Arabi, near the occupied Jin, his wife spoke to the crowd who gathered outside their home to consolidate the family and his 9 children. They called for his revenge and also for all Palestinian prisoners languishing in Israeli jails.
I congratulate myself and my children for the martyrdom of Sheikh Khadr. Now, after his death and all the sacrifices he made, we do not want a drop of his blood to be spilled. We will not wait for anyone to avenge my husband. His 9 children will keep his cause alive. And to the Israeli occupation, I say, remember the faces of my children well. By God, we have raised them with pride and dignity.
A general strike has been announced across the occupied West Bank in mourning for Sheikh Khadr Adnan. Protests have been held in several areas, including Ramallah. Palestinian resistance groups have mourned what they described as the execution of the senior leader of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, Khadr Adnan. They say they hold the Israeli occupying regime fully responsible for Adnan's murder. Since 2004, Adnan had gone on 6 hunger strikes, drawing local and international attention. Not only did he become a spokesperson for the Islamic Jihad, but also a symbol for the cause of Palestinian prisoners.
The Israeli regime has sent a clear message to the whole world that we will continue killing Palestinians even after their imprisonment. Today, Sheikh Khadr Adnan has set a new level full of pride in the history of Palestinian prisoner movement. After his assassination, the Palestinian people are facing a new stage of struggle. Today, we all must unite and stand against the practices of the Israeli regime for the sake of our prisoners.
All Palestine is sad for the martyrdom of the hero prisoner Sheikh Khadr Adnan. It was not his first hunger strike. Every time he was courageously declaring a hunger strike to reject the illegal administrative detention that the occupation's regime uses to keep thousands of our people behind bars. Unfortunately, this time his strike came to an end with his martyrdom.
Meanwhile, several protests have been held in the occupied Ramallah in response to the Israeli murder of Sheikh Khadr Adnan. The demonstrations turned violent in a number of areas, namely the cities of Arram, Al-Khalil, and Ramallah, with clashes erupting between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian protesters. Israeli forces fired at the crowds, and a number of Palestinians were wounded. The Day of Rage will always be remembered as a day of honor and loyalty to Sheikh Khadr Adnan, who is considered by many here as a national hero. Every time Sheikh Khadr Adnan engaged in a hunger strike, he insisted that he will not end his action without achieving victory. His definition of victory was either getting released or being martyred. This time, he achieved victory by martyrdom. Palestinians also believe he was an iconic figure who succeeded in bringing another defeat to the Israeli regime. Mona Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Israel has carried out airstrikes on the besieged Gaza Strip, prompting retaliatory attacks by the Palestinian resistance. The strikes targeted a number of areas in northern and southern Gaza. The Palestinian resistance wing, Hamas, says its positions in Gaza came under attack. Meanwhile, warning sirens sounded in settlements surrounding the Gaza Strip after Palestinian resistance movements fired a barrage of rockets into the occupied territories. Several Israeli settlers were injured as a result. Resistance fighters say the attacks were in response to the murder of Palestinian prisoner Khadr Adnan in an Israeli jail. Hamas representative in Iran, Khaled Qaddoumi, has told us that Palestinians will follow in Sheikh Adnan's footsteps and continue resistance in the face of the Israeli regime's brutal crimes.
We, all of us, are marching to resist this enemy and to continue our path till liberation. These sacrifices of Sheikh Khadr Adnan and the sacrifices of all those youngsters, boys, and daughters who are in the street marching under the slogan of freedom and removing of this occupation will continue. And I tell you, those missions which has been done everywhere to defend our rights is a reaction against the biggest crime that is the continuous and perpetual occupation for the last 74 years. What we are going to do is to do with the will of Sheikh Khadr Adnan and his all colleagues. We will continue to struggle to free our all prisoners. We will continue our struggle to remove this occupation, to safeguard Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's a complete holistic program of resistance that adopts all ways and all levels to defend our rights and to defend our people. And that the blood of those martyrs, the blood of those shuhadas, will never be wasted.
We also talked to the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman about the Palestinian detainee's murder in an Israeli jail. Nasser Kanani says Tel Aviv's allies and international bodies are complicit in his murder by failing to punish the regime for its crimes.
The Zionist regime is directly responsible for the martyrdom of Khadr Adnan. It seems that the international bodies do not have any responsibility when it comes to that, and they remain silent regarding this crime and other crimes that are being committed on a daily basis by the Zionist regime. And this emboldens the Zionist regime. So it's not just the known allies of the Israeli regime that are complicit in this crime, but it's also these international bodies that have a responsibility to show reaction to react to this crime, such as the Human Rights Council, the United Nations, and other international bodies that claim to be the advocates of human rights. They are also complicit in this crime.
The EU foreign policy chief has called on Israel to halt what he called unilateral measures that could further escalate tensions after renewed Israeli violence against Palestinians in the occupied territories. Josep Borrell made the comments at a meeting with Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen. The EU official expressed concern about the situation across the occupied land. Israel has ramped up attacks against Palestinians during the past several months. The regime has carried out almost daily raids into Palestinian neighborhoods to arrest those allegedly behind anti-Israel operations. Over 100 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank alone since the beginning of 2023. Palestinian supporters have laid an open-ended siege to the site of Israeli weapons manufacturer Elbit Systems in the UK city of Leicester. Organized by Palestine Action, the siege is aimed at shutting down the factory permanently. Said Puruza has been to the site and sent us this report.
Against the backdrop of that all-familiar soundtrack and amid heavy police presence, pro-Palestinian protesters outside the Leicester branch of the notorious Israeli arms maker Elbit Systems. A short walk into the woods from the demo, members of the Palestine Action Group, donning the iconic Palestinian keffiyeh with one purpose in mind.
I'd like to see Elbit out of the UK. I'd like to see Elbit shut down once and for all in the whole world. But obviously, you know, where we are and what we can do is get Elbit out of the UK. And ultimately, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Elbit Systems completely gone from UK soil.
Beyond the steel fence and barbed wire, Elbit's UAV tactical systems manufactures drones on UK soil. Drones allegedly tested on the captive population of Gaza.
When I was there in Gaza for 2 years, I saw what those weapons do, and they are knowingly making them, selling them. In fact, they are even marketing them based on how much horror they have committed across Palestine and still ongoing.
Members of Palestine Action and other Palestinian supporters have come here today saying they're having to take direct action against Elbit Systems because lobbying the British government through normal channels is futile. And they're calling on people around the world to join their campaign to put an end to Israel's international arms trade.
Elbit, Israel's largest weapons maker, used to host 10 sites across Britain. 18 months of protests and blockades by Palestine Action forced its site in Oldham, Greater Manchester, shut last year.
And it's time that Israel finally got brought to justice. We've seen enough horror, murder, oppression, occupation, ethnic cleansing. Enough! We've had enough!
The last time Palestine Action tried to close Elbit's Leicester site was 2 years ago. This time, they say, they won't leave until they have finished the job. Saeed Pariza, London.
In the United States, job openings have fallen for a third straight month in March, while layoffs increased to the highest level in more than 2 years. Job openings have dropped by 1.6 million since December. In March alone, there are almost 400,000 fewer vacancies than the previous month. The decline in job openings comes as a wave of layoffs that hit the country in recent years shows no sign of slowing down this year. The job cuts jumped by almost 250,000 and have now reached 1.8 million. That's the highest level since December 2020. The United States is sending yet another military aid package to Ukraine. The shipment is worth $300 million and includes, for the first time, short-range air-launched rockets. The package includes Hydra 70 rockets, which are unguided projectiles fired from aircraft. It also includes artillery rounds, howitzers, anti-tank missiles, and mortars. Ukrainian officials say they are planning a counteroffensive. The package brings the total amount of U.S. military aid to about $36 billion. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the start of the war last year. Moscow has time and again warned the military assistance will only prolong the war and add to the suffering of the Ukrainian people. That's a wrap for now.
selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب الله.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Cases of illegal child labor have been increasing in the United States since the COVID-19 outbreak, driven by a shortage of adult labor. The U.S. Department of Labor said in February that the number of illegal child workers soared nearly 70% in 2022, compared with 2018. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. According to Global Times, not only has the U.S. long connived at the exploitation of migrant child labor, but it has also recklessly relaxed legislative protections for child labor. The New York Times reported in February that in the past decade, U.S. federal prosecutors had brought only about 30 cases involving forced labor of unaccompanied minors. A report released by the U.S. Economic Policy Institute in March revealed that states across the U.S. are attempting to weaken child labor protections and that children of families in poverty, and especially black, brown, and immigrant youth, stand to suffer the most harm from such changes. For example, Arkansas this year passed new legislation that eliminates requirements of work permission from the parent or guardian for children under 16. This blatantly opens the back door for businesses to hire migrant children separated from their families and legally exculpate child labor agents. In the U.S., a large number of children, especially those from minority ethnic groups, are more susceptible to economic exploitation, loss of educational opportunities, and an unhappy childhood, leading to further entrenchment in the depth of society. The chronic illness of racial discrimination, apathy toward immigrant welfare, and intentional tolerance of corporate responsibility not only revives the historical legacy of exploiting child labor in the 19th century, but also is full of lies and self-deception in addressing the increasingly worsening problem of child labor. This has led to a deeper entrenchment in the violation of labor rights and encroachment of children's rights. The U.S. is a laggard in protecting children from exploitation and forced labor. As the only UN member state that has not ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child, The U.S. has repeatedly been condemned by UN human rights agencies for its backwardness in protecting children's rights. At the same time, as a signatory to the worst forms of child labor convention, the U.S. has not actively fulfilled its international obligations to protect child labor. In response, the Committee of Experts on the Application of Conventions and Recommendations of the ILO has repeatedly urged the U.S. to take measures to strengthen its oversight of child labor in agriculture. It is ironic that the U.S., on the other hand, points fingers at other countries and criticizes them, refusing to import goods with child labor and forced labor from other countries, while, on the other hand, it consumes and enjoys the products of its own child labor and forced labor. This once again incisively and vividly reflects the hypocritical nature of the U.S. double standards, human rights. The increasingly worsening problem of child labor fully exposes the structural defects of the U.S. system and the persistent melee of systematic human rights violations. When it comes to protecting children's rights and eliminating child labor, the U.S. is a negative example. Time had earlier reported more than 100 children, some as young as 13, were employed in hazardous jobs cleaning equipment like skull splitters, brisket saws, and bone cutters in meat packing plants in 8 states. Over the course of 3 years, the U.S. Department of Labor, DOL, has said the children were employed by Packers Sanitation Servicing Corporation, a Wisconsin-based staffing agency that fills open jobs in the food services and agricultural industries on a contract basis. PSSI is owned by the Blackstone Group and paid $1.5 million in penalties for the violations, DOL said at a news conference on February 17th. Last November, DOL first accused PSSI of employing 30 minors, and a court granted the government a temporary restraining order to stop what a judge called oppressive child labor. The company said at the time that rogue individuals had engaged in fraud or identity theft and that it did not employ anyone under the age of 18. The DOL's investigation turned up even more children employed by PSSI in states including Arkansas, Colorado, Minnesota, and Nebraska, said Jessica Lumen, principal deputy administrator of DOL's Wage and Hour Division at the news conference. The Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations since 2018, Lumen says, but it's unclear if that rise is because more companies are employing children or because there have been more investigations of these companies. DOL data shows that it found 3,876 minors employed in violation of the law in 2022, a 68% increase from 2018. But that number still pales in comparison to 2002, when it found 9,690 children employed illegally.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Nocturnal colonization.
In mid-2008, it was revealed that the U.S. Department of Defense's research center had asked a group of researchers to conduct a strange experiment. The strange experiment was not about the range of ballistic cruise missiles or the astonishing speed of the new series of Phantom jets. It wasn't pursuing Ronald Reagan's Star Wars project in the 80s, and it wasn't about the mysterious HAARP project and creating devastating earthquakes in the enemy's lands either. A years-long effort in the U.S. Army to create supermen and superwomen who could automatically reconstruct their body parts hadn't achieved any success, and now the U.S. Department of Defense's research center had put something ordinary on the agenda. The research was about sleep, about setting sleep time and gaining control over it. What the Pentagon wanted to find out was how it could manipulate soldiers' sleep so they wouldn't get tired so soon, they would sleep less, and of course, fight more. In the 18th century, Europeans had already got a penchant for both coffee and colonizing other countries. They took the seeds of the bitter evil fluid with them to other lands. The tropical countries near the equator had fertile plots of land, as well as people who could work as slaves on those lands. The lands were supposed to supply the fuel the Europeans, or in other words, European factories needed. Gradually, trading coffee and slaves became interwoven. The slaves were taken from less fertile countries to tropical countries. The high quality that coffee cultivated by them would directly go to modern European coffee houses. Coffee, slaves, and money were the three sides of a triangle. The money side of the triangle would only benefit the colonizing countries. They would somehow colonize the minds and bodies of their own countrymen as well. Trading two black items perched atop the list of lucrative businesses. It might be hard to believe, but today trading coffee is the second most money-making business after oil. The scandal showed that although the quality of producing coffee had improved a little, its dark and bleak history was as bitter as it was during the 18th and 19th centuries. Coffee might be more delicious than before. It's presented to the customers in better and more colorful packaging. The companies that produce coffee compete with each other to supply coffee, but the common history of the coffee industry and the laborers on coffee farms doesn't taste any better,
and doesn't look any better compared to the era of slavery. The history is still as dark as a thick cup of coffee produced by a black slave. This scandal and similar scandals that have been revealed in recent years showed something else as well. Despite the bitter and shocking news, the number of customers in coffee shops hasn't decreased. In fact, coffee in today's world is more vital than we think. The rate of consumption isn't going to fade anytime soon. Today, coffee is an inseparable part of the personal and professional life of workers and employees worldwide. Without coffee, you can't start a day or end it. But the thing is, only 6 hours after you drink a cup of coffee, its effects on your brain will be reduced to half. To improve your body's function, you need to drink another cup of coffee to supply your brain cells with caffeine. In fact, the war between caffeine and the hours of the day is over one thing: sleep. It's obvious that if someone can sleep less, they can work more, and if they work more, the employer will make more money. Coffee is the weapon the capitalist system equips its employees with to send them to the front line in a battle with sleep every day. It's a daily war whose winner is clear from the night before. Owners of capital in the past centuries consider sleep as their most important enemy. They also have other weapons besides coffee in their arsenal to fight with. On December 31st, 1879, Thomas Edison was standing outside his lab in Menlo Park, New Jersey. He was staring at the glamour in the eyes of the journalists in pitch dark at that night. After a while, he raised his head and took a look around and extended his arms towards a lever. After he pushed the lever, hundreds of lights around the lab and the dirt road leading to the lab turned on. All of a sudden, the night in Menlo Park turned into day. What difference does it make who Edison stole the idea of making the lights from? The thing is, the attractive show won the hearts of the capitalists and got Edison closer to his dream of establishing a large light bulb making factory in New York and selling his lights. That night, not many people thought that light could make a tangible effect on the sleep of people in the world. After a few decades, though, as using electricity became commonplace, the concept of night that used to be the best and most appropriate time for sleep was dented. Besides the farms near the equator, the light emanating from Edison's pioneering spectacle was the other side of the capitalist double whammy. It cast a shadow on workers and employees.
You know, haven't been in the hospital. I understand what that's like. It's just like I've been injected.
Researchers at Oxford University have recently found that people on Earth have been sleeping an hour or two less on average, at least during the past half of a century. It means coffee and light have accomplished their mission. Mass production of toothpaste that release caffeine into the mouth and complementary pills and drinks that are supposed to help facilitate the entry of caffeine into the body more objectively have had a surge in recent years. The interesting point is, as people's sleep has been exposed to greater risks in recent decades, they've come up with new solutions to tackle them. Some people call the solutions the sleep industry,
they include a large spectrum of products. The products, which are at times costly, are supposed to give people who are addicted to coffee a better sleep in return for the money they earn. The sleep industry, like the coffee industry, has a whopping financial turnover, about $76 billion annually. The duality in the capitalist system, namely inclination to create sleeplessness and at the same time helping to tackle them, doesn't look strange. Who knows? Maybe the stockholders of companies that produce smart pillows and mattresses for tighter sleep are the very owners of the farms that produce coffee and factories that make light bulbs.
Sleep. We all do it. But why?
Sleep remains one of those remarkable puzzles. We've known the functions of eating, drinking, and reproducing for thousands of years. However, sleep remains a mystery.
Why do some people ruminate all night and other people, they see the pillow, they're gone?
The pattern of sleep among animals, like the birds that can remain awake for 7 days, or a bird like common swift that sleeps only with one side of its brain, and of course, the sleeping habits of dolphins, elephants, toads, and giraffes have attracted the attention of researchers, military institutions, and capitalists. They try to study and mimic the lives of animals and manipulate human beings' sleep. The efforts are not related only to the recent studies by the Pentagon. They date back to the post-World War II years. There's an unverified report from the late 1940s that says a Soviet scientist conducted some secret experiments on human sleep. They wanted to understand the effects of sleeplessness and find a definitive way to stop sleep. They promised 5 political prisoners freedom and locked them up in a sealed room that was filled with a chemical that stimulates sleeplessness. After over a week, some things happened that led to the deaths of 2 of them. The others were afflicted with serious irreparable physical harm, and it caused a conflict between the researchers and the inmates. Although the narrative was never officially confirmed, efforts by the U.S. in the following years confirmed that research on sleep and depriving the soldiers of sleep to improve their function were a reality. Using the LSD psychedelic drug, a $12 billion investment to create biological soldiers, and widespread prescription of stimulant drugs and the magnetic stimulation of the skull are just a few of their numerous efforts to materialize the dream of creating super soldiers who do not sleep. Meanwhile, the media have been largely advertising coffee in recent years along with phenomena like artificial light in order to prove that sleeping less necessarily means more success. This is a frequently quoted myth in success conferences about successful people. To make more money, you have to sleep less. The fact that successful people sleep less is a claim that only capitalists like Edison favor. Edison's business took off the ground after electricity was invented. He'd always say that people should sleep less, about 3 hours a day and not more. He used to say, in fact, that sleep is the inheritance of human beings from cave dwellers. It was obvious why he was saying that. The less people slept, the more they used his light bulbs. Now, nearly a century after Edison's death, some people still favor his words. Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, has recently said in an interview, "Our main rival isn't other online streaming companies, but the number of hours that subscribers sleep." Whether we believe, like Edison, Hastings, and their capitalist buddies, that sleep is a heritage from cave dwellers or oppose them, the fact cannot be refuted that coffee, or in fact caffeine, has today turned into an essential need of human beings. According to a survey by Food and Chemical Toxicology Journal, 85% of the U.S. population drink at least one caffeinated beverage every day. And even if we don't drink coffee, we shouldn't feel complacent. The bad news is, caffeine isn't found only in coffee. You can find caffeine everywhere. Chewing gums, flavors, toothpaste, tablets, or even energized sunflower seeds, and of course, more importantly, in drinks like Coca-Cola, whose secret and magical caffeinated formula gradually causes addiction.
Is caffeine addiction really a mental illness?
Well, really, technically it is. I'll explain. The DSM-4 lists all mental diagnoses, all psychiatric diagnoses, things ranging from schizophrenia to depression to anxiety. Included in that has always been substance-related issues, whether it's alcoholism or cocaine or heroin abuse or withdrawal. Caffeine is a drug, and when you have those symptoms of withdrawal, it is also included in the classification.
Since caffeine changes the metabolism pattern in our brain, if we want to stop drinking coffee or other caffeinated drinks, our body will start showing negative reactions. Headaches, stomach aches, double vision, anxiety, depression, and similar complications.
If you are really addicted to caffeine and then you suddenly stop, you have to fall into this DSM category. You have to have 3 out of 5 different symptoms. They include things like depression, headache, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, and even some flu-like symptoms, muscle aches and pains.
The process of caffeine withdrawal is exactly like the process of stopping to take any kind of drugs. A researcher studied the effects of caffeine on his own body. At the end of his research, he concluded that caffeine is a soft drug, a soft universal drug.
I actually at one point was up to a pot of coffee a day in medical school. Wow. Really, I had just built up this huge tolerance. I went cold turkey, and this is why I believe in this diagnosis. I was definitely physically and even mentally ill. I felt horrible for a week.
Well, you obviously did well on the exams, though, because you
yeah,
are a
that's
doctor.
All that matters. Yes, really. I've got to keep my priorities together here.
In the final days of 1963, two American teenagers decided to work on a project about sleep for their school. They chose the long nights of winter during the new year to break the record of going without sleep and study its effects on themselves. Their study turned the media's heads. A few months after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which had become a front-page story for all newspapers, the 17-year-old Randy Gardner sleep deprivation experiment had made headlines in America. Soon, a physician affiliated with the Pentagon went to him and monitored his activities. He and one of his friends spoke to Randy. After 11 days and 25 minutes of remaining awake and setting the record, he was transferred to a facilitated U.S. Naval hospital in a special ambulance so they could monitor him and his brain waves. Initial results indicated that after several nights, Randy's sleep had gone back to normal, and surprisingly, he got up and went to school. But later on, the project had some other results that were paid less attention. Randy's brain was taking a napping all that time, and his activities were done habitually and subconsciously. But after a few years, it was revealed that Randy Gardner was suffering from insomnia. Apparently, there was no way to beat sleep without damaging the brain. What was inside the cups on the desks of the U.S. Defense Department researchers finally helped them answer the question, how can we keep the soldiers awake? Like the history of coffee, The answer would help the researchers use other people. The revelation of the results and goals of the research by the Pentagon in fact confirmed Jonathan Crary's claim in his book that sleep is a natural barrier for abusing human beings, a strong barrier against the capitalist nocturnal colonization. The colonization fervently pursued by the Pentagon, Starbucks, Nestle, Netflix, and even factories that produce mattresses and light bulbs.
In the limelight.
Gun violence is always a critical topic during U.S. elections, but experts see little hope in the U.S. political circle to address the issue due to its historical complexity and the extremely polarized stances of Democrats and Republicans, even as gun-related tragedies continue to occur in the United States of America. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more, please. Global Times noted, in the latest reflection of the miserable situation over the past week, Alabama witnessed another mass shooting tragedy in the U.S., with 4 deaths and 28 injuries, while the potential Republican presidential candidates still reportedly rejected the idea of more restrictions that could curb the bloodshed as they spoke at the annual gathering of the National Rifle Association, NRA. The Alabama shooting happened the same day that shots were fired into a crowd at a park in Louisville, Kentucky. 2 people were killed and 4 others were wounded. That incident was the city's 2nd mass shooting in less than a week. On April 10th, a gunman killed 5 people and injured several others at Louisville's Old National Bank, according to CNN. According to data released by the Gun Violence Archive, GVA, across the U.S., a total of 157 mass shootings have happened this year as of April 16th, indicating an average of 1.48 cases per day during this period. These shootings have resulted in 12,358 deaths, with 413 aged under 17 and 9,600 injuries, according to data updated recently. But former President Donald Trump still insisted that this is not a gun problem in his speech recently during NRA annual gathering. Mike Pence, Trump's vice president, also towed the line by saying that people should stop trampling on the God-given rights of the American people every time a tragedy happens, according to a New York Times report recently. Liu Xiang, research fellow at the Chinese Academy of Social, pointed out that the issue has been totally politicized and became a label of partisan conflict in the U.S. Liu told the Global Times recently, In the U.S., the Democrats have to call for banning or managing guns, while Republicans will definitely stress freedom in owning guns. It's as if they're not Democrats or Republicans if they do not stick to the party's stance. Such polarized stances have resulted in there being no space for the two parties to negotiate over the issue, which Liu deemed as the main reason why the problem of gun violence in the U.S. cannot be resolved as its root. This is a typical systematic problem of the United States, Liu noted. The Insider reported, during the NRA annual meeting, photos of children handling firearms also made the rounds on U.S. social media platforms over the weekend. Even though the association said that they had rendered the guns at the exhibitions incapable of being fired, gun control advocates slammed the scene as saying responsible gun owners and parents would not allow a child to put their finger on a firearm's trigger while pointing it at other people, even if they are props. Yuan Zheng, deputy director and a senior fellow of the Institute of American Studies at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, said that even though gun violence is always a critical issue during the U.S. elections, they will not play a decisive role. Gun violence is a complicated issue, combining historical and partisan elements as well as social factors. The current polarized U.S. politics is making it even more difficult.